programs at Georgetown University's Institute for Reproductive Health. Since receiving her MPH from Tulane University, she's held a variety of regional advisory and senior management positions in Africa, the Caribbean, and the U.S. Her current work and interests include adolescent reproductive health, deepening understanding of and program approaches to address social determinants of sexual and reproductive health, planning and evaluating scale-up of sexual and reproductive health innovations, and development and use of participatory methodologies for programming and evaluation of research. So, Susan, please. Hello, everybody.
So we're moving to Rwanda now, and we're going to be talking about an approach that we actually adapted from an earlier successful experience in Madagascar using social diffusion approaches to increase talking and uptake of family planning. I actually also wanted to thank Dr. Viani Ndiyimana, who worked furiously and hard to get these data, because our data collection was a month later than we had planned, and so I'm going to be presenting preliminary data for you. And I have no relationship to this book. So what is social diffusion? And this is sort of the classic definition, but it's a process in which an innovation is communicated through certain channels over time among members of a social system. And this was the framework or the theory that we used to really base the work that we did in Rwanda, and had previously the basis for the work in Madagascar. What does that really mean in relation to family planning? And this little diagram on the left sort of can give you just a general idea on how it actually worked in Rwanda, where that yellow circle could represent a community health agent who has been sensitized to give these invitation cards to family planning users that he or she actually knows of and has been supporting. And then those people who receive the cards, the family planning users who are satisfied users, are asked to give a card to a person that they know isn't using a family planning method or they suspect isn't. And it's really based on these concepts of social learning and social influence, where people, through their trusted friends, receive information and evaluate it and then make a decision. But it's not often the knowledge that you hear from a media campaign or from an education talk. So the way we set it up was basically these users give invitation cards to their friends and peers, and what happens operationally is that actually creates a certain permission at a community level to talk about something that you probably have never talked about with your good friends, and why you're happy with your method, and encourage a friend to try a method. And then that person, the invitation card, then acts as a little invitation to go to seek information and services. So I'm not going to tell you much about the experience in Madagascar, except that they had a very large effort with 900,000 invitation cards being distributed that led to significant increases in family planning uptake, which was our inspiration. For us, we were also looking at it a bit differently. The Rwandan context is different. The government has just started a community-based provision program. They're starting now to roll it out. They already have a 51% CPR. But they've asked the CHWs to take on one more task of all the tasks they're already doing, and so they were feeling really overburdened. And we at IRH have been working with the government and family planning partners to scale up a new method, the standardized method, which is a natural family planning method that requires participation with your couple in terms of how you're going to manage the fertile babies if you're trying to avoid pregnancy. So we were saying it offered some interesting opportunities for us in terms of adapting this innovation. So could we do some task shifting and moving away some of the promotion from the CHWs to community groups? And could we take the standardized method and some of the values inherent in it in terms of male participation and even couple use and try and exploit that in terms of the groups that we worked with at community level to diffuse, to have a diffusion effect? So our adaptations were pretty simple. when you compare with Madagascar, really what we added was the civil society element that hadn't really existed before. So we started working with men's groups, women's, and couples associations to become the diffusers of each one invites three. But we were much, unlike the 900,000 cards that were distributed, this was very much a pilot effort just to see if it would work. The government and other NGOs actually have approached us. If it works, they want to take it on. But we only limited ourselves to 19,000. So this is what the card looks like. It's postcard size and was very pre-tested, carefully designed to reflect certain aspects that we thought would be interesting in terms of diffusion. So one you see on the very left-hand part, men talking with men, holding up that invitation card, and you see women talking with women. And that third picture is an image of a man and a woman seeking family planning services. So that's on one side. The other side of the card is your CHWs with their full set of family planning methods that are offered in Rwanda. So it was a way to really just get people provoking maybe a dialogue. And I was actually in Rwanda in September, and we met with some of the service providers and one of the male men in one of the men's associations, who very carefully explained the card to me. So it indicates to me that people really looked at this and studied this. I mean, it's one person, but I mean, he was incredibly well trained. But clearly it could be used as a way to provoke discussion that's different than the kind of discussion you normally have. So where we actually implemented it was in four districts, and that middle district that you probably can't see very well was the comparison district. We wanted to create a somewhat quasi-experimental design, at least in terms of looking at family planning service uptake. And you can see in these four districts where the actual intervention was, we sort of had a spread of different types of associations and even a different number of health centers that participated. And that has created some of the problems with our initial data analysis. But it also shows we wanted to be selective. We wanted to try out different types of associations and see what effect they would have in terms of family planning uptake. So it was a pilot. We wanted to see what we could learn. And you'll see that there's women's groups. All of these groups were working in health in some way. Some were in family planning. Male groups were actually vasectomy support groups and in Rulindo district. And then there was a group of SCM user couples who were already doing promotion around natural family planning methods. So how it actually got implemented is pretty simple. Once we identified the associations and met with the different Ministry of Health representatives and providers, we started a cascade training of different associations. Ooh, that disappeared. Thanks. Complemented a little bit with mass media broadcast, as they had done in Madagascar, and then did monitoring visits. And so this is actually one of the Ministry of Health central technical advisors who was really involved in this campaign, who's actually doing one of the training for the first group of association members. And the way it actually turned out was, because we had our limited resources and we're trying to do something simple enough so that we could eventually scale it up. But if you look at the way the associations were trained, you would have a leader of an association who was trained, who would then be training the members of the association in this campaign approach, who would then distribute, and they would all get cards. They would then give cards to family planning users that they know, and they all went out. And it's all of these people who basically went out and gave cards to people. So the evaluation aims were really to look at the effect on family planning uptake, and we were looking only at service statistics between the districts that participated and those that did not. Really assess the more intangible effects that happened as this new innovation was being rolled out at community level. We were particularly interested in looking at some of the gender dynamics if we were working with men and not just with women. And looking at, because we wanted to eventually scale it up, assuming it was a success, really trying to look more at some of the process and the dosage issues that might have affected whatever the ultimate effect was in terms of family planning uptake. So the kinds of questions we asked, let me just go back, and they're not actually on a slide, is, did more people start using family planning who were exposed to this campaign than those who did not? What was the profile of those people who actually came with cards to the health centers? What motivated these people who received their invitation cards to seek services in the first place? And what does it mean to involve men and men's associations in this campaign? Did it lead to changes within themselves, within the way they interacted with health services, within the way they interacted with the community more generally? And so this is just the way we our data sources and sampling. But basically, there were 40 health centers that were reached, and so we took service statistics from all of those plus the comparison district, and then we purposively selected 11 health centers, each had an association that we worked with, and did a series of interviews with family planning providers who had been involved in the project, with focus group discussion with association members. And then also, by that time, we had sort of created a list of family planning users who had come with a card because the nurses were keeping them in their register so that we could do a systematic sample and try and, I think we were looking for 105 new family planning users. I think it was actually 110. So the analysis I've been referring to is really looking sort of at a time series, family planning uptake 6 months before, and then the family planning uptake during the 6 months of the campaign. It got a little complicated because with this cascade approach to training, we realized that they didn't all start at the same time. So we have a group that was there longer, 6 months, and a group that was there only for about 5 months. Thank you. And then a group that had only been trained 3 months ago, we didn't even bother including in our sample because we didn't think there could be any diffusion effect that was worth, that was measurable. So let's just look at some of the results. And they are preliminary. But sort of answering that question, like, who is it that comes? If you get this invitation card and that, for some reason, gets you to go to a health service and get a method, who is it that comes? So this is just the profile of some of the clients. I think it's pretty similar to what you see in rural Rwanda generally, but I think what's interesting to note is the ever-use of modern methods, and that you know, almost 80% of these people had never used a modern family planning method. And this diffusion effect and this more personal approach, that would be our hypothesis of a trusted friend telling you to go use a family planning method, could be what's making the difference. Okay, so I'm going to come back to that first. So looking at uptake, and looking very broadly, that black line represents the period when each one invites three begins in the 6 months before. Control group is the peach color, and then the intervention. You do see a difference. And when you looked at all centers, though, it wasn't so clear. And so we started subdividing into groups that had had the intervention longer and the groups that had not. And that's what I'll go back to. And this is where we're still exploring because we've got a lot of questions with it. But if you look at that last graph, the Kibuye, Mbilise, and Rutongo group are the ones who were doing it the longest. And you actually see, if you're comparing before and after, the after is the blue, some pretty strong increases. You look at the Kilindi and Kiziguro, which were the groups that weren't at it so long, and you don't see much of an effect. We actually then looked, if you look at the right-hand side, and then the control actually decreased, and I'm not sure how to explain that. At the right-hand side, you look at the types of associations and the health districts that were together and the percent change, and you'll see better numbers in terms of some really dramatic increases, some places where there was really no effect at all, at least that wasn't happening yet, and actual decreases, I was saying, in the control. So the question is then, which of these health centers were associated with which associations? Like, do CHWs using this approach lead to greater effect? Or do men in Rutongo and couples lead to greater effect? Right now, it doesn't look like they do. When we started questioning Dr. Vianney, and he sort of went back and started talking with health providers, who are the ones who actually collected the family planning data, one of the things we did learn, well, I don't know if many people know Rwanda, but about 40% of the healthcare system is operated by Catholic-based health centers. And so the way the services, the FBO services have tended to interact with the ministry who wants full-fledged family planning is to create secondary posts. So that in a health center, if you're a Catholic, you might only offer natural family planning methods, but you've got a little post right next door that offers all the others. And those data weren't collected. So we're trying to collect those data and see if that makes a difference. Okay, let me go down. So again, just kind of looking at those two groups, the ones that have been at it longer, where that diffusion effect has a greater chance to maybe take effect, the control, and then which is in blue, and then the black. So you just sort of see some differences. So let's look qualitatively, because that's pretty interesting, I think. And again, we're doing more work on it. And I'm only going to share with you perceptions of men from these men's associations and income providers, just for this presentation. But if you look at these quotes, it's kind of interesting, the kind of things that they were saying. So we're asking them, you know, how did you participate? What changes did you see in the women who came for services or men, you know, in your interactions? And these are some of the quotes that came up. So it's interesting. You can see that the invitation card has struck some kind of cultural note. It seems it gives people permission to do more than just talk. You know, it's almost a permission to go to a health center. But I think what's really interesting is that bottom one, where the clients have been saying that they didn't know that men should go for family planning services. So it's starting maybe I'm going out a little bit too far, but, you know, are there some gender role expectations starting to happen? All of a sudden, men can play different roles than just being men as partners or men as CHWs. Looking at the perceptions of men's roles in family planning, again, and these are now just looking at the male association members, you can see some of the changes that they remarked have been going on since they've been involved in this. And we weren't really sure what was going to happen with the vasectomy group, because they were there for vasectomy originally, and would they be interested and open to actually promoting more than just vasectomy, but it seems like that is the case. So some preliminary conclusions. Thank you. Is that, you know, they're definitely underused, and you can't use them all the time. They're really a communication campaign type methodology, but all of the providers wanted to keep using them because they just saw these great effects when we were talking with them anecdotally. But it can move people and individuals and communities from knowledge to reflection and action. It's those latter two things that are going to be really critical they're all critical, but it's going to get you your family planning uptake. That the associations can create new social dynamics at community level that formal healthcare systems alone cannot do, and I think we all understand that. But our big learning is that it takes time for these diffusion effects to occur, and that we started measuring too early. I mean, we saw some trends, so what we're actually going to do is wait another 3 months and measure at the end of that period, and again with our control, and just see what kind of differences there are. And it might actually make some difference too in the different types of associations. Some of our other conclusions are that not all associations are alike. We basically trained them and gave them the cards, and then they organized the way they wanted to do the activity. And so some did do it differently than others, and did that make an effect? So that's one of the things we're still looking at. But if you're really thinking of scale up and you want to kind of target your resources, which are the best associations to work with? That's really what we're trying to get at ultimately. And then just some final reflections on the role of men's associations as promoters. Communities, it registers well with the communities. They liked it, and the men themselves liked it. But we didn't really see a lot of uptake when you look at those family planning uptake where the men associations were. And so are they playing a different role on, you know, shifting gender role expectations around how men get involved in family planning, and ultimately will that have another kind of effect? So I think that's it. Thank you.